From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, November 21st, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheesh, Hawa Toexik Nusum, Salamat, thank you for joining the conversation. Today, we chat with folks from the Alaska Design Forum about their latest presentation tomorrow night, Friday, at the Goldtown Theater. We'll find out about an upcoming December financial wellness workshop from Spruce Root, the nonprofit group helping to drive a regenerative economy in Southeast Alaska. And we look ahead to next semester and beyond with the new Director of Admissions at the University of Alaska Southeast. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That right there is a little Buddy Tabor from a 1987 cassette tape that he made with local musicians. Of course, Buddy, the legendary singer-songwriter here from Juno, passed away in 2012. And all of his music, all of his original music is now available on streaming services. And this is the song called Thin Ice from Cannery Lights. And you can find that all on any of the streaming services out there. And you can also find more by searching Buddy Tabor Project online. You have an Instagram and all kinds of cool stuff. So that's Buddy Tabor. The Alaska Design Forum looks to broaden the range of discussion around design and the built environment. It started in 1992 by a group of architects, artists, and designers to foster conversation and broaden the discussion around design. It offers its programs in a multiple city format, including Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau. And this Friday, November 22nd at 5:30 p.m. at the Gold Town Theater is their next event. And here to tell us more are James Bibb from Northwind Architects and Zane Jones from MRV Architects, two of the local Juneau architect firms competing.
Here we are.
You're competing, but you're in the same room.
We're friendly rivals.
You all work on projects together too, right? Sometimes.
Well, every now and then. It's rare. Mm-hmm. We have our own shop and do our own thing for the most part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Friendly competition.
You're always bidding on the same things, I guess.
We're trying to elevate the whole scene, yeah.
Well, it comes up. We rarely see each other in our daily practice. And when we do have the Alaska Design Forum and a few others, we get to spend time with each other. And it's a nice avenue to talk about design. And it's been a great opportunity for Zane and I to get involved, for sure.
Right. Yeah, Design Forum is, it's Switzerland. Yeah. It's neutral ground. We get to just come out and enjoy ourselves, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Zane, for being here today. Gunnath Cheesh. It's really nice to have you here. So, let's talk a little bit about the Design Forum in general, and then we'll get to the specific event and the person who's going to be here tomorrow night at the Gold Town Theater. So I mentioned it in the intro a little bit about how it started, but basically, what is the goal of the Alaska Design Forum?
Well, who's going to take that first?
Well, you're the board president, James.
Well, I don't think I am.
No, we're not. We are both board members. I'll take a stab first.
Okay, great.
I think your intro there, which is, I think, right off our website, is elevating the conversation and just the scene of design in Alaska. And I think for, especially as architects or other designers, it's really an opportunity to see a lecture series, which we don't have. An architecture program in the university system, or we don't have what you typically see down south in a lot of these bigger, university systems. They draw in these speakers. And so Alaska Design Forum brings up these caliber of lecturers or other designers that just get us together and let us have deep, good conversations.
So is the idea to sort of build that? Because I know, Alaska being as large as it is, but also as remote as it is, mm-hmm. and of course Juneau even being more remote, but it sort of does it help breed the sort of cross collaboration, because the idea is that you're bringing folks from outside of Alaska to come here and talk about design and things like that, right?
Well, I mean, we see it this way: for us to go up on a project or a client and to really talk about design in a high manner or in high. There's something about the outside expert, the name they recognize from, reading on magazines and books and seeing. For them to come in and talk about design is just further references something we sometimes can't get the conversation. The conversation's not introduced as much. And for us, it's been an opportunity. And likewise, the designers and artists that come into Alaska are just fascinated by coming to Alaska. Sometimes it's their first opportunity to be here.
Sure.
And they get inspired. We have great conversation. And it's just been a wonderful series. And it's been 30 years, so it's been something that's it keeps me going, having to talk about design with folks. We'll have 20, 25, 30 people in a room with just a world-famous designer, an artist, and have dinner with them. It's really a wonderful opportunity.
So is the idea that who should come to the forum tomorrow night? Is it anybody who's interested in design? I mean, obviously, folks who are architects and artists and designers, but there are people who just appreciate architecture, right, and want to learn more about maybe what's going on outside of Alaska.
Yeah, I mean, we'd like to think that art, I mean, everybody is exposed to art and design, their built environment as we introduced it. And so it is for everybody, and we like it in that sense, is that I think that conversation should be had for the general public, not just mm-hmm. a select group.
And right, it was mostly started, at least Alaska Design Forum, by architects, and it's fairly architect heavy in the lecture series, but this one coming up is a graphic designer. So it certainly applies to other design, any design-related field, I think.
Yeah.
It's of interest to anybody that considers themselves in the design world, or even if you just have an interest in it. I would say most of the folks that come to our events at Gold Town are just people that are interested.
Mm.
They're just curious about architecture, about design. We've had, I think there was Icelandic sweaters one time. And,
that was something else.
Yeah, so it's an eclectic mix. I mean, I do think it's a little bit architecture heavy, if you will. But it's a little everything.
Zane, when you see someone who isn't maybe an architect who's coming to speak at the design forum, does it inspire you in some way when you're hearing from somebody who might be a graphic designer or in some other form of design?
Definitely. Yeah. I think design, it's a kit of parts, if you will. Architects have a kit of parts that they do their thing. But another designer that's a graphic designer, it's a similar creative process. And so hearing someone's slightly different angle on it, I think definitely inspires me. And I think it gets a good conversation going.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And some days, if I reflect back on my profession, sometimes I'm disappointed. It's just about buildings in a sense. And so the conversation just about how people analyze their environment and then try to better it, I mean, I think that's broad. So Carlos Zamora is coming in tomorrow, a Cuban-American, works out of St. Louis, just a fascinating background. So his cartel, his Yes Cartel organization, I mean, they do such high-end work as far as communicating with the graphic environment, the graphic illustrations and things like that. I mean, anybody that it's on media, on social media, on the web that communicates it's going to be of interest for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I know it starts at 5:30 tomorrow, and doors open about a half hour before that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Carlos Zamora is your guest, like you said, from Cartel. And what do you know what he's going to be talking about?
I don't know if I know specifically. I would imagine his work.
We get a little bit of hints because, you know, he's in Anchorage and Fairbanks before here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the bit of excitement and enthusiasm. But, yeah, it is going to be about his work. But it sounds like it was a success in the other cities, and we're excited to see him here.
Yeah, because I guess he was in Anchorage last night in Fairbanks, whichever ones, but Anchorage and Fairbanks tonight and last night, I guess, and then fly. So that's really interesting because you all have folks fly to these specific places. So they're really committing to being in Alaska for, you know, close to a week almost with the travel that's involved. That's kind of cool for them too because, as you said, a lot of people want to come to Alaska. A lot of designers probably get inspired by seeing things that are happening in Alaska. That's really cool. And so how long has it been a multi-city format? Has it been doing that for a long time?
I think as long as it's been around. I believe it started with a group in Anchorage,
but it pretty quickly
became the three cities. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in a sense that in order to, like a lot of programs throughout the state, in order, it really, we try to collect these three regions that have a bit of a population base to do a better outreach.
Mm.
So between Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau, they all get a good flavor of our, you know, our broad region. It's all quite different, as you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. I want to go back to something you said, James, about the built environment. What does that mean?
Well, it's what's around us that shapes our lives. We all interact with it every day. So if you go downtown, it's the streets. I look at the built environment that anything that we have developed as a community that we interact with. And so, you know, it's interior, it's exterior, it's landscape, anything that we have worked with to throughout our daily routine in our lives. So, I mean, that's pretty broad. Boy, it's like asking an architect to describe architecture, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm curious, too, like for you, Zane, how did architecture become the thing that you do? When did that start for you?
Oh, interesting question. Yeah, James and I were talking about it before the interview. Yeah, well, I grew up in Utah, actually, but fell into or just got a job working construction. And that introduced me to building things and seeing them, you know, upright at the end of the day. It was pretty powerful and moved me deeply. And that got me in the avenue of architecture. I did have a mentor that helped me fall into it. And then moving to Juneau, was talking with James. I had worked down south in some other larger corporate areas, and it just didn't really float my boat, so to speak. And moving here to Juneau, where you can actually build, you know, design or work on a design of something that impacts the community, like a library or a school or something. I'm not working for some rich exec or CEO or something. We're designing things that James is describing, that us as a community react to and interact with and share. And You know, you get to impact people's lives, which I find incredibly rewarding.
Yeah. What about you, James? How did you get into this?
Oh boy, I got
wonderful
lucky.
World of architecture.
No, I guess my dad. He was a shop teacher, drafting teacher, so we were always involved in some aspect of the technical side of architecture, drawing side. And then at 15, I got in an office as kind of to help out with blueprints back in the day when they needed just a little more manual labor. And as soon as you were able, they put you on the table and started drawing. And then it became a wonderful profession quite early because your mentors were the architects that you spent a lot of time around. And you saw the result of something. So we try to influence. It should start young in that sense, is that it's a lifelong profession. In fact, it's not something you do for 20 years. If that, it takes you 20 years just to get up to speed on how to put it all together.
Right.
And then we like to see is, and it does apply to your experience with life. So these people who were true mentors, they inspired me to go further on. You know, I could have done a number of things, but architecture was a wonderful, wonderful profession.
Yeah, and I guess the design forum is one place that I love the fact that it's people who come from outside because it sort of brings that knowledge and inspiration, right, for those who are in that career fields, in the different career fields. As we said, the guest on Friday, tomorrow night, is Carlos Zamora, who's a graphic designer. But then there's architecture and there's other artists and scene designers and all these kinds of things who can get inspired by hearing these conversations with outside folks. Yeah. Do you have a moment, James, of when one of these speakers like gave you a gold nugget? Can you remember one where you're like, oh, I want to incorporate that into my work?
Boy, they all have something. But I will say this, there's something about, they all have something that you take away from this experience. And I want to pitch it more. It's so easy to get online on YouTube or other and just kind of learn from a distance or listen from a distance. There's something about, you know, the idea of personal interaction with somebody who's doing work that you sit there and it's more a discussion. We call it a lecture. I think that's more of a it's a discussion. So you get inspired by the mannerism which they come in and how they choose to present their work.
Mm.
And I think you come out of that thinking, and that's the most important. You come out of that gathering for an hour, and you're going to approach the next day differently. I guarantee it. You'll start thinking about some things that I think, and that's why I think it's very important. The interaction personally, to hearing people speak about the way they interact, to getting back to the built environment, about how they problem solve, how do they think about things a little differently, and it affects your own perspective in the right manner, very positive manner.
Yeah, there is something about live, being live. Like it's easy, like you're mentioning YouTube, it's easy to not pay attention. You know, listen to YouTube while you're doing the dishes or something and you might miss something. But if you're actually actively engaged in the moment, you never know what will happen and how you might be inspired.
You're with other people. There's you know, the best part is the question and answer session. So you have a conversation starts. Maybe I'm a little bit old school on that, but I feel that. And I get back to community. We'd like to see more people out of these events. We feel it's just a wonderful opportunity. We always come away thinking, boy, we wish we could have twice as many people that really would get something out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, part of it coming on the radio a little bit is to foster a bit more support and to make a good welcome for these outside guests.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So the Gold Town is just a wonderful venue. Most people have been there.
Get your popcorn with your real
popcorn.
Butter and learn some stuff. So, Zane, let me ask this last question here, maybe for both of you. But since you're here and we're talking about architecture in Juneau, is there anything that you're excited about in terms of what is the future of the built environment here in Juneau?
Oh, wow. That's an excellent opinionated question. Yeah, we could go on for days about this one. I mean, I think Juneau in general has a great quality of life to it. The downtown has a really walkable feel. You know, those are places you don't find those places real often. And I think our waterfront, too, the fact that we're on the water here, super opportunity. Some of the improvements on the downtown docks and other things have just really made Juneau, I think, a world-class place. You don't realize it, and it's funny, even the last couple of the last ADF speakers have have come and they sort of look around as we're walking around Juneau and they're like, wow, this is actually a really nice town. And this is, you know, you kind of forget about it when you live here, but to hear other professionals say, hey, you know, you've done something right. You're able to just walk to the coffee shop or walk to the entertainment place and it feels great and it's cozy and quaint and historic and vibrant. That's really, I think that really excites me and makes me really proud to be part of the design community in Juneau.
Yeah. Wow. What about you, James? Anything to add to that?
You know, I'm thinking, man, I think Juneau is always in transition, but I'm very excited to see Alaska Heritage, you know, the campus that was developed downtown, the push from the Native corporations, especially, which they, that's the future in our region.
Yeah.
I think we're coming off of a, you know, a boom from the 70s and 80s that have somewhat of a 10, 15, 20-year outlook. And I think we're making decisions, hopefully, for 50, 100, 200 years. And that's the excitement I have. I think Juneau's going to grow in the right manner.
That's great. Well, I really thank you both for coming in today, Gunnith Cheech. It is the Alaska Design Forum tomorrow night at the Gold Town at 5:30 p.m. It's Friday, November 22nd. It's Carlos Zamora from Cartel. And, of course, you can go to alaskadesignforum.org. They have all the upcoming speakers. There's going to be another speaker in March. And also in February, there's the Anchorage Design Week. And you can find out more information about the organization and all the good things they do. And I think tickets are $20 at the door, something like that. $5 for students or starving artists, I think. Starving designers, maybe, you might have on there, too. But it's at the Gold Town, and you get your popcorn, and you get to listen to some awesome design conversation. Thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate you both being here.
Boston.
Yeah, good to see you, James and Zane. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Boston.
Okay, up next, from design to finance, we'll talk with Spruce Root about their upcoming financial wellness course to help you improve and manage your personal financial health. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosos with the Marine Drake Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the nine bird constellations. Western culture divides the night sky into 88 arbitrary patterns. They're called constellations. It's similar to the 50 states of the U.S. It enables people to be able to locate objects in the night sky. Now, it's interesting that of the 88 Western constellations, nine of them are birds. And of those nine, five of them are birds that can be found in Alaska. There's Corvus, the raven. There's Aquila, the eagle. There's Cygnus, the swan. And there's Grouse, the crane. And Columba, the dove. All five of those are found in Alaska. Now, there are three bird constellations that are in the tropics. That's Tucana, the toucan, Apis, the bird of paradise, and Pavo, the peacock. Now, the ninth bird constellation turns out to be a mythical bird, and that's Phoenix, which is the mythical bird that emerges from the fire. Now, what's interesting is other cultures, Siberian, different indigenous cultures, will have their own constellations, and sometimes these constellations overlap. Also, the state flag of Alaska has the Big Dipper in it, and the Big Dipper is part of the constellation Ursa Major, the Great Bear. This is Steve Kosos with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Over 2 days, this December 12th and 13th, the nonprofit Spruce Root is offering a financial wellness course for individuals looking to improve knowledge and their ability to manage their finances. It's a pleasure now to be joined by Haley Armstrong and Mark Wheeler from Spruce Root. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here. Wasiati, how's it going?
That's about all I know. Wasiati.
Ah, thank you, Mark. How about you, Haley? How you doing?
Doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's a pleasure to have you join us. Where are you at right now, Haley?
I'm located on Prince of Wales Island, so I live in Craig.
Ah, I see. Okay, that's great. And that's a wonderful thing about Spruce Root is it's really an organization that has employees and also programs all throughout Southeast, right?
That is true.
Yeah, absolutely. We have...
Go ahead, Haley.
I'm not stepping out on you. Go ahead, Haley.
Yeah, absolutely. We have staff throughout Southeast Alaska, and we also try to offer all of our programming throughout Southeast, especially in some of the smaller, more remote communities.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, this program that we're talking about in December is a personal finance management class. And I know that Spruce Root has so many different programs that they do, but this one is specifically for individuals in terms of personal finance. Can you tell us a little bit about what this class is going to entail, Haley?
Yeah, so you're correct. It's personal financial wellness. So we really, we think a lot about your money mindset and the relationship people have with money. A lot of the times this is kind of a subconscious thing that we don't even really think about. And a lot of our ideas about money came from a really young age, you know, oftentimes from your parents or your guardians or things you heard community members say about money. And I think there's just a lot of us that don't even realize how much that plays a role in our current relationship with money. So that's kind of where we start with the workshop, is really looking at our relationship with money and how we can change or improve that, you know, if that is what someone desires to do. And then we also take a look at our spending plans and help clients create a future spending plan based off of the way that they have been previously spending. I really like the idea of like not so much a restrictive budget. I think a lot of times when people think about budgeting, it's this idea of, okay, I make so much amount of money each month and these are my bills. And then I have this leftover money and that's what I can live on. But we really try to take a little different approach and look at what you're actually spending money on and then create a plan from there based on, you know, what your financial goals are and values are around money. And really try to make that not feel like it's so restrictive and more doable. Financial wellness is really similar to that with physical wellness. If you can do some little things in the long run, you'll see a great improvement rather than trying to make these monumental changes all at once.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to mention that as we were talking about that this Spruce Root is really for all of Southeast, like this is a virtual class that so anybody can sign up, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It'll be over Zoom over the course of 2 days. So anyone who has, you know, internet access can and is in Southeast can sign up.
Okay, great. And is there a cost for the workshop?
Yeah, there is a $25 fee, but we do offer a fee waiver for anyone who sees that as any sort of financial burden. And so you can go ahead and do the registration, and there's an option to do a PayPal at the end. But if you, you know, cannot make that $25 contribution, that's not a problem. We'll reach out to you, or you can reach out to us and let us know you'd like the fee waiver.
Yeah, and go ahead, Mark.
Well, I just want to say, you know, people like maybe think about a Zoom class, their eyes glaze over. We make it really fun, and I'm not kind of blowing smoke that, you know, people have done a lot of work on Zoom, but we make it really interactive. A lot of time for people to share and just have fun together, because so much of this stuff can be painful. But we try to make it playful and light and just learn from everybody's experience.
Yeah, it's interesting when you talk about, you know, sort of personal finance. It's an area that a lot of people, like in our daily lives, you're not necessarily walking around talking to your even your friends mm-hmm. about your personal finances. It's such a it seems like it has always been this like taboo subject to talk about what you make or how you go about doing things or what troubles you may be having with money
for sure.
and how you, you know, where your problem areas might be, because I feel like there's some shame around money that is really, you know, we sort of use it as a marker of success, and it really shouldn't be that, you know, like it's just an interesting thing. So people taking the opportunity to control their money and take a class like this, it seems really valuable. I used to use a program, I don't remember the name of it, YNAB, that's what it was, YNAB. And I always remembered the first rule. They had like these four rules, and one of them was, the first one was, every dollar has a job. Okay. And that was just an interesting way for me to think about money in terms of what my money is being used for. And of course, that job could be in my savings account, right? Your job is to stay in the savings account. Your job is to pay the bills. Your job, whatever it might be. And that way you can question yourself and be like, is the job of this money to be buying a $5 latte every day? You know, something like that. And looking at that cost. And then the other thing that I remember doing was, I annualized my cable bill back when we used to have cable. I don't want to do it with the streaming services because I don't want to know.
You really do need to.
But like I did it with the cable bill and I was like, how much am I spending a year on cable? And it was like, you know, $1,000 or $1,200 or whatever. And you think about what your annual salary is, and then you go, wait, one whatever fraction of my salary is being spent on cable. Is that really where I want that money to be going? And so I love that you can make it fun, though, in the class, because I think that people do have that difficulty approaching the conversation around money, because a lot of things we spend money on, Haley, we don't want to stop spending money on those things.
Absolutely. And we do. We really talk a lot about what you spend money on and what value that brings to your life. And I'm not here to tell anyone what they can or can't spend money on. And being able to stick to a budget is really, truly thinking about those things that you aren't going to stop spending money on. And like you said, giving your money that job, and that's its job. And then that can alleviate a lot of guilt for people too, right? Like if you just determine that that is something you spend money on, you don't have to worry about that that feeling when you do it because you feel like it's the wrong thing to be spending money on.
Yeah.
We're big fans of YNAB at Spruce Roo. We do a lot of work with YNAB.
What does YNAB stand for?
You need a budget.
And it's a...
It's an online, it's a program, it's a computer program that you buy.
It's an app, right?
It's an app. Yeah, it's an app. And now I think when I first got it, it was an app you had to download, but now it's all online now, I think. It's on a web service. And it's very easy to use. It's gotten even easier over the years. I don't use it anymore, but it taught me a lot about how to sort of manage my money and think about that, you know.
And I think the cool thing about this class is you're going to learn stuff like YNAB and other strategies that you can just implement.
Yeah.
Stuff you can get your hands around. And it was new to me before I took the class from Haley and learned a lot of useful stuff that you can just put into practice like tomorrow.
Yeah. And this is an interesting question too, Haley. So like, I know that Spruce Root is geared towards, you know, you use that term regenerative economy all the time.
Man, you're good, Boston.
And so I'm curious about how does a personal finance, wealth, health class fit into the regenerative economy mission?
Sure. I think a big part of it is being able to help keep folks in Southeast Alaska who want to live, work, play, be here. And oftentimes the cost of living can feel really overwhelming. And so really working on your personal finances and how you're going to be able to not just afford to live here, but afford to live the life that you want to live here in Southeast fits into that regenerative economy idea.
I see. You want to add anything to that, Mark?
Well, it's also the case, unfortunately, that intergenerational wealth in a lot of our communities is not what it should be. And I think this class can really help with that. But it's also kind of part of our kind of approach to the region is like not everybody needs the same thing. Like, so I do one-on-one business coaching with folks wanting to start businesses. But maybe before you start a business, maybe you need to work on your personal finances first. So you have a good credit score, you can get better access to loans, that kind of thing. Or maybe you're early in your career and you need career coaching. We also offer that as well. So we're trying to offer a suite of services that can help build regenerative economies in each of the towns in Southeast Alaska. Because it's challenging. Like Haley was saying, the high cost of living and the lack of access to jobs and employment in some places can really be a barrier.
It's interesting because Spruce Root does so many things inside that world, right? Which is great because you're helping individuals as well as then, actually it's all really always individuals, right? Because it's individuals who maybe want to work on their personal finance, or maybe it's somebody who's trying to start a business, right? With your Path to Prosperity program that y'all do as well.
And it's all been community, right?
Like, yeah.
The community is a huge part of what we do.
Yeah, it's all based in community, which is really cool. Haley, I have a question for you, and maybe this is just me asking for a tip, but how do you build What's a good one technique, I guess, that you can share on air now? Because obviously you got to take the class to learn everything. But to help build your credit, what do you do to build your credit?
It's going to look a little different for person to person. But your credit utilization rate and your payment history are going to be the two biggest percentages of what make up your credit score. And so your credit utilization rate is the amount of credit you're using compared to the amount of credit that you have available to you. So if you had a $10,000 credit limit, you never want to use the golden rule is 30%. You actually want to keep it even lower than that to get the most amount of points in that section of your FICO score. But keeping your credit utilization rate below 30%, really, if you can keep it below like 10%, then you're going to get the most points in that area.
But I have a $10,000 limit and I need a new computer. No, I'm just kidding. I understand that, right?
And then,
go ahead, Haley.
The other thing too is then if you do make those large purchases, making sure you have that cash available to then be able to pay down that credit charge before it shows up on your credit score, your credit report. So if you have, you know, that 30-day window to make sure you pay that down, then it won't affect your credit utilization rate in the same way.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
There's one big myth, I think, out there that we can dispel really easily. You can check your credit score, and it won't affect your credit score.
Right.
So people think, if I look at my credit score, it's going to make my credit go. No, you can, and there's your bank and other places.
There's apps that can do that.
But if you're, you know, a possible employer checks it, then, or a bank, that can make your credit score down. But you should have ownership and check your credit score because it'll give you that kind of power.
Yeah, kind of keep you up to date on what's going on with that, and you sort of learn how to manage that. It's really great. I was not good at that as a younger person, so I really needed this class like 25 years ago, Haley.
Plug Haley a little bit too?
Yeah, please.
So besides the class, Haley also does one-on-one financial wellness coaching.
Okay.
So if you really want to work in, because some of the stuff is kind of tough to talk about in a group, mm-hmm. but she has that service, which is really, I think, an amazing program.
Awesome. That's so great. Well, let's give your – how do we get in touch with you, Haley?
Yeah, if you go to sprucerute.org, you can find the registration link for the upcoming workshop there, as well as a link to our coaching services. So that's the best place. You can also reach me at Haley at sprucerute.org.
Okay. And of course, the best way to find out about all of Spruce Root's programs is at the website, sprucerute.org. You're also on all the social medias and all that kind of stuff where you can find out information. And I'm sure you probably even have a newsletter.
We do have an email newsletter every couple of weeks.
Absolutely. This is the personal, it's a financial wellness workshop. It's on December 12th and 13th. It's 9 to 1 p.m. each day. It is via Zoom, so anywhere you are located, you can take this class. It only costs $25. However, if that is a barrier to participation, you can let Haley know, and they will figure out an option for you. And so that's really great. Registration closes December 2nd. That's something we hadn't mentioned yet. So that's coming up. That's in about a week or so. And the class again is on December 12th and 13th. And that's going to be, it sounds amazing. It sounds like it's a really great course to at least get you sort of pumped up. And it comes at a great time because it's right before the holidays where we tend to spend more money than we probably should, right? So, yeah, Gunath Cheech Haley for joining us, and Mark for coming into the studio. Thank you so much. SpruceRoot.org. Yes, Gunath Cheech to you both. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Boston.
Up next, we look ahead to next semester and beyond with the Director of Admissions at UAS. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
On a cold and sunny March afternoon, two Juno naturalists are in the forest, setting up a trail camera on a winter-killed mountain goat they found. They're curious to learn what scavengers will visit this carcass. I set up a few cameras of my own. Ravens have been busy tearing hair and wool from the carcass, and the area is littered with fur. The birds can pluck fur, but they can't really get into the goat, and so far, no scavengers capable of ripping into the carcass have been here. Bears are still hibernating. A day later, the naturalists bring three native Alaskan Chilkat weavers to the site to gather wool for weaving, and then they leave the goat to the scavengers. The cameras tell the story. Over the following week, dozens of ravens and eagles visit the carcass, mostly just plucking hair and fur and carrying it off for nesting. Red squirrels and a deer mouse are almost constant visitors, also focusing on hair and fur. A week later, a lone black wolf shows up at 3 a.m. and tears into the goat, eating a big meal. He's back the next night and tears off a leg and carries it away. Soon after, at about midnight on April 1st, a black bear finds it, a big male, just emerging from his den. He's back the following night and drags what's left of the now picked over carcass completely away. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Yeah, the candle lights were burning bright into the August night. Crews were working overtime until the morning light. Lincoln Webb out in the deck house packing up the salmon roe. Sell the Japanese in the stores of Tokyo. But I can still remember working on the cannon machine long before the days of Trudeau. Well, the salmon was the king. The Seattle Filipino crew working on the gantry floor, anticipating cans of salmon by the retort's cast iron door. And through this late night madness you might wonder how it would be aboard a limit saner cast your nets into the sea. But I can still remember working on the cannon machine long before the days of Trudeau, while the salmon was still king. Butchers cut fish with sharpened knives as blood and scales went down the drain with the best part of our lives. And the bunkhouse standing empty now, the men have all gone.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's a little more Buddy Tabor. That's the title track, Cannery Lights, from Cannery Lights, the 1987 cassette, now available on all the streaming services, which is pretty cool that Buddy Tabor's music is available that way. The University of Alaska Southeast offers classes online and on campus in a myriad of subjects like marine biology, business, health sciences, and more. And joining me now to look ahead to next semester and beyond is returning Junoite, Brenna Heinz, the new director of admissions at UAS. Gunath Chisha Igudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio and to meet you. Wasa Iati, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Of course.
It's amazing to be back. I grew up listening to K2 here in Juneau in my parents' car and kitchen, so it's lovely to be in the studio.
Yeah, I know we were talking a little bit before we went on that you came back a couple years ago, and then you started at the university in this job almost a year ago.
Almost a year ago in January, yeah. I worked down south in undergraduate admissions at a few different universities, and then, you know, about a year or so into COVID, I was living in Philly and really missed nature, missed my family, so moved back to Juneau, and then this job opened up, and it was really a perfect move for me. I'm so privileged to have this opportunity.
Isn't that nice when that happens?
Wow, it's so perfect.
When the stars align and you get to live where you want to live and do the thing you want to do. And how did you get into working in admissions?
Yeah, you know, I would come back. I went to college on the East Coast, but I would come back to Juneau in the summers and worked in tourism. So my entry point was being a tour guide and mm-hmm. talking about this lovely place. And I said, how can I get paid to do this? And so I started as a student tour guide at my undergraduate alma mater, and that led me into the career of admissions. I was a philosophy major, so one of those, what are you going to do with that degree?
Right. What do you do with that degree?
Well, you know, I learned to write really well. Mm. I developed these critical thinking skills that gave me a big interest in thinking about systems, our education system, and then combining that with, ooh, I also love public speaking. Like, I love the attention of being a tour guide, and this career in admissions allows me to do both and fundamentally serve students on their paths after high school.
So a lot of lateral skills and all the things that you did that work in this job.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's amazing.
Well, welcome back to Juneau. Thanks. And I'm glad that you're working at UAS helping students out. So let's talk a little bit about next semester.
Yeah.
And I know that I guess I want to ask this question because people think, oh, like if there's somebody who is listening who's like, yeah, I want to go to school, but you always got to start in the fall. Can you start in the spring?
You can start in the spring. So UAS is really special because we do something called rolling admissions. So that means we're all throughout the year accepting applications, making decisions on applications, and students can start in the fall, spring, or summer terms. So you have a lot of flexibility, and you also can start as a degree program student. I want to get a bachelor's degree or a certificate in something. Or you can start as what we call a non-degree student. That's basically like, hey, I just want to take a class. Mm-hmm. And actually, a fair number of our students start as non-degree. I just want to dip my toe. Maybe a business class. Maybe I want to start my own business. Mm. Or maybe an arts class. And then they get embedded in the community and they end up earning a degree that helps them in their career in a way they didn't really anticipate. But lots of entry points.
Okay, so you can start pretty much any time on this rolling admission thing. And even if you don't know what you want to do, you can just be like, well, let me get some of these maybe basic classes out of the way. I could take my English requirement or my math requirement, whatever it might be.
Exactly.
For the thing. The gen eds, as we used to call
them. The gen eds, yep, we call them that. And, you know, if you want to start a degree program, we do have admissions deadlines for our bachelor's, our associates, our certificates. And for the spring, our deadline is December 1st if you want to be a program student. But you can also just sign up for a class. And so now is a good time to go online. Our whole course catalog is available. See what we offer. And our admissions process is very low barrier, right? I specifically wanted to work at UAS because our mission is access to higher ed for anyone who wants to access it. So we don't have, you know, sometimes people think of admissions as a big essay and letters of recommendation and extracurricular activities lists or resume. There are lots of schools that are like that. I have worked at some of those institutions. UAS is not. All we need is really a form. Who are you? What do you want to study? And then what's your academic history? And we make decisions based on your GPA alone, either from a previous college or from high school. Mm. And that's it. So we want this very low barrier to entry so anyone can access our institution.
Is there GPA, which I believe I remember stands for grade point average?
Correct.
Look at me. But what's the barrier for entry for GPA at UAS?
Yeah, so we only have a GPA requirement for our bachelor's and graduate programs. So our bachelor's programs, it's a 2.5 GPA from high school. Or if you're a transfer student, so you have spent some time at another college or university, it's a 2.0. But for our associates, certificates, occupational endorsements, we don't have any GPA requirement. So anyone can access those programs, regardless of how you did in high school or at another institution. We have a lot of folks who come in and they've taken some time off, or they didn't go to college immediately and they want to come back and get some new skills. Those folks can access UAS regardless.
Now, that's awesome. And I'm thinking about the different classes that might be offered. Is there any – I mentioned a couple of programs. I know UAS is known for, like, their marine biology and a couple other programs. And I know we've got the technical center down here. I know we just did a story on the diesel class the high school students are taking and things like that. But is there other cool classes that are going on that you want to highlight?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, Lily Hope, our amazing local talented artist, she now is teaching at UAS. She's doing three classes this upcoming semester. One of them is just a weekend long course. It's $75. Anyone can sign up. And it is a weaving course. So fiber arts spinning, February 8th and 9th, only $75. She's also doing a beginning Northwest Coast woolen weaving class that's all semester, and an online Indigenous performing arts class. So the other thing that's really nice about UAS that you mentioned at the jump was we have online classes. Some of them meet at the same time, right? You log on synchronously, but some of them are asynchronous, which means you can do it totally at your own pace. One of our reference librarians, Jonas Lamb, who's amazing, he's doing an asynchronous class this upcoming semester on internet and society, looking at like the power structures that shape the internet. You can do that totally at your own pace. So a lot of different types of things. I would say a lot of community members are interested in our arts classes. Ceramics is another really popular one. Or PE classes. We have a new bar class being taught. We have some dance classes in the spring. But then we have these other like stretch your brains, right? Maybe you're a humanity. You kind of just like want to dip your toe back into that deep academic space, you know. Political philosophy is a class that's coming up, you know, if you want to think about politics in a different way than we're just hearing on the news, but really go back and think about the structures that created our political systems. A lot of those are available to anyone, and a lot of them are online or in person. So you have the choice to come. Whatever works for you.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is. It is. It's such a gift to have an institution that has so much breadth, right? I spent a lot of time at universities down south that I love and I value, but they served pretty much only bachelor's degree seeking students. And so it was it's a much less diverse curriculum and student body. And UAS, you talked about our career and technical center that serves high school students, that serves folks who just want to take basic welding. That's a class that anyone in Juneau, Sitka, or Ketchikan can take on one of our UAS campuses. So you have that, you have certificates in those fields. And then you also have people who are, you know, deeply into theory and want to go on and get PhDs and be professors, and they are all learning together, which makes, I think, the learning environment so much richer.
Yeah, that's so interesting. You're making me think of like when I know my daughter had gone to community college for a year or so, and it seemed, and I know that UAS is a university. It's not necessarily what would be classified as a community college, but it has that sort of flavor. It has a sort of feel where you can have sort of, like you're saying, the community take classes and things they're interested in, but then also have these sort of degree-seeking students who might be looking to launch into something more serious down the line and get their PhD or do whatever it is that they're going
to
be doing.
Yeah, I like to think of us as a both and. We are, you know, both a four-year bachelor degree granting institution, and actually we have some master's programs in education and business, and we function as a community college. We have associate's degrees, we have occupational endorsements, things that are very hands-on practical, and it's such a benefit to the community and the region to have us as a resource.
Well, it's like you said, it's access to anybody who wants access to education, right?
Yeah.
Which is really great. That's a great mission to have. So if I am somebody who's looking for a degree program and I want to start maybe thinking about applying, as you said, the deadline's coming up for next fall. Is that right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that, what we might need to know if we want to apply, some tips that we might need to know about applying for next fall.
Yeah. So I like to think of this season as admission season if you are on the fall entry track, specifically if you are a high school student. So high school seniors, this is the time when they're really starting to apply to colleges for next fall. And I think it's a really good, you know, if you have students that are in high school and they want to apply to college, having them work on their applications over winter break, because they get a break from school, obviously, and they don't have to do this process while doing their schoolwork. So I think the best thing to do right now is to think about, what are my goals, right? Maybe you have a goal of, I need a degree that will get me a very specific credential for this job I want. Or maybe you're like, I just want to engage my brain, but I don't really know what I want to do. And this is a great time, particularly for high school students or younger people, to be doing a lot of self-reflection. Maybe you have no idea what you want to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do. But doing the work of saying, okay, but what sort of spaces do I thrive in? Am I someone who gets a lot of energy from public speaking and being around people, and I need to find a career or an academic path that will lead me towards a space where I can do that for maybe a living? Or am I someone who gets energy from being outside, from working with my hands, from creating? And that helps narrow your options. And then you can think about, okay, what particular institution will be a good fit for me to get me what I need? But when I talk to high school students, a lot of it is like, I am overwhelmed. There are literally thousands of colleges and universities in the United States. How would I choose? And there are some practical things like finances, you know, distance from home. And the other piece of this self-reflective, where will I thrive and where can I get the skills I need to put me in a space where I will be successful, not just, you know, in a job and make money, but as a human, right? To do things that fill me up.
Wow, that's so great.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's good advice. And I know that you have a really cool website as we wrap up here today. UAS.alaska.edu has the entire breadth of everything you need to know. But if you go to apply/apply/steps, it has a really great sort of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's like this really great website that can kind of walk you through what's going on and what you need to do next as you're thinking about this stuff.
Yeah, and we're really, again, the barrier to entry, we want to be very low. It's you fill out our online application, which is mostly just your biographical information and tell us what you want to study. You pay an application fee, but we can waive that for you if that's a barrier. You just need to email our office. We'll give you an application fee waiver code. And then you submit your transcripts. If you attended high school or college somewhere else, you have those sent, and that's it, you know. We'll review your application. It takes no more than a few business days, and then you're in. And then our advisors reach out, our residence life team reaches out. Then there's a whole community to catch you and bring you into the fold whenever it makes sense for you.
I love that. Is it easier to get transcripts these days? Because when I was doing it, you had to get them by hand and get paper, and they're sealed.
They have to be official.
Is it all electronic now?
It is almost all electronic. Yes.
Oh, that's so great, because that was such a pain.
It is such a pain. I remember having these, you know, sealed envelopes. You can't open them or they won't be official.
I think I still have some.
Right. You still can't open them.
I know, right? Yeah. Brenna Heinz, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about that. Director of Admissions at UAS. You can find out more at uas.alaska.edu for spring classes. Sounds like there's some really cool stuff happening, and as well as other programs that might be for entering into next fall. So I really appreciate you coming in today. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Gonna cheese.
Gonna cheese.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a look at Southeast Literary Journal title Echoes and how you can participate, plus information on Salvation Army's Thanksgiving Day meal. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Hello out the road where UAS is located. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from DJ Thompson. Gunath Cheesh, and have a joyous Juno evening.